Gracious Jesus, as you appeared on that mountain and showed who you really are to your disciples in all of your glory, and we join you there today, we thank you that you walk with us all the way to the cross for us. We pray that you would work through your word today and my words, that they might be yours, and that you continually form us into your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I hear a story like the Transfiguration story, I often want some explanations. Hey, how did that happen? What did it exactly look like? And we want to know more, and sometimes, often, we just aren't given those. But explanations are some things that we want from time to time. There's a book that we had growing up called The Way Things Work, and it diagrams and kind of cool stuff. Sometimes a light switch or a auto engine, different things, tells you how it works. But then there are other explanations we don't get, or maybe we don't want to know. Why did I get that speeding ticket? Maybe you know, but or why did I get sick after eating that raw chicken? Or that the toddler season we have been through and will go through probably more times, and that is as soon as you say anything or give any answer, there's one word that is always the next reply, and it is why? But there are times in our lives when there are just those moments where all those kind of things fade away, and explanations melt away, dissolve, or aren't even necessary, because something so big and so grand happens, and we're just left speechless, much like the disciples, and we just can't explain anything. For you, I don't know if that was maybe on your wedding day or birth of a child or some other really important moment where you're just without words and in awe. And there's a word for that, and the word in English sounds a bit archaic, but it means stop what you're doing, freeze, don't move, mind, stop running, soul, stand still, body, stop moving, everything stop, and just be. And be is in the word is behold. There's nothing left to say, nothing to explain, just look, take a deep breath, live, take it in, behold. Sometimes they used to say, behold the king. Or at the unveiling of a Michelangelo sculpture or some other amazing work of art, that instant that everybody sees it for the first time, whoa, behold. When in your life do you have time to behold? When do you allow your mind to stop running through the list of things to do, or for you to stop scrolling on your phone in line somewhere just because you're in line and you might as well do that? When do you have time to behold? Take a walk into the woods and behold God's world. The towering oak trees and rustling leaves and rolling sand dunes and crashing waves, behold what God has made. In our explanation-driven and noise-addicted world, God is inviting us to behold God. The God that is beyond explanation, beyond comprehension, beyond comparison, beyond our wildest imaginations, and yet God comes near. Both in the Old Testament and the New, throughout history, God has come near. So Moses, you heard, went up Mount Sinai, and behold, God was there in great power. The cloud, the thunder, the fire, the smoke. God is a wild animal, thank you puppets, not a tame house cat. Behold God who carved the Ten Commandments with his own hand. Behold God who defeats Pharaoh with 10 powerful plagues. Behold God who rescues his people out of slavery. And Exodus 34 says this about God, which appears over and over all throughout the Old Testament. Yahweh, Yahweh, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Behold our God. Transfiguration is one of those moments where we simply behold Jesus. And the more we get into explaining too much else in the story, there's a lot of cool features of the story to interact with, but to try to explain more, I'm not sure it gets us somewhere other than behold Jesus. Jesus leads his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, on a hike up to the top of that mountain, and up there, they beheld Jesus. They saw him for who he really is. It's like scales came off their eyes. Time stands still. Everything freezes in one of those moments, and there's Jesus, dazzling white. Moses and Elijah, two figures from the Old Testament there, it was otherworldly, and they beheld the glory of Jesus. And all explanations stop because here he is, true God, true man, in all of his glory. And the transfiguration doesn't leave us any wiggle room to say, well, Jesus was, you know, just a good moral teacher, just a prophet, just said some good things. It doesn't leave us that room because it shows us who he is. It leaves no room for us to say, you know, Jesus, simply a prophet, simply a teacher, simply a God. He is all those things, but he's so much more. And there stand Peter, James, and John speechless to behold the glory of God in one person, Jesus. But if you continue to read through Matthew, this gospel, and get to the end of Matthew, you see that as powerful as this moment was on this mountain, this isn't actually where Jesus wants you to truly behold him. We don't truly behold Jesus on this mountain, but on another mountain. You see, Matthew lines up a lot of details in the way he writes the story about what happened here and what happens later. The Mount of Transfiguration is strangely written to sound like another story on another mountain where we truly behold Jesus for who he is. On this mountain today, Jesus is revealed in his glory. But on a hill outside Jerusalem, Jesus is revealed in shame. Here his clothes are shining and dazzling white, but on the cross he is stripped bare, and his clothes that are soiled with sweat and blood are gambled for. Here Jesus has two faith heroes on his side, Moses and Elijah, representing all of the law and the prophets, all of them testifying to Jesus as the Messiah for you. Yet on the cross, Jesus is flanked not by two heroes, but by two terrorists, getting the most awful death sentence you could. And one of them is invited into the kingdom before the day is over. At the transfiguration, this bright cloud overshadows the mountain. Yet when Jesus hangs on the cross, darkness covers the land. Here, Peter blurts out how wonderful this is and mumbles some other stuff about building huts. And at the cross, Peter hides in shame because he has just disowned Jesus. Here, that voice blares from heaven saying, "This is my son, listen to him." And at the cross, Jesus, the son, cries out saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it's the pagan Roman guard standing there who says, "Truly this man was the Son of God." The Mount of Transfiguration, yes, is glorious and looks glorious, but the true glory of Jesus is on the hill of Calvary where he bled and died freely for you. Behold Jesus. Amen.